Activating meridians. Alignment. Instability in field. Negative. Charge aligning matrix field. Positive. Coordinates reached, Commander.
Activate the Shade field.
Activations of multidimensional engines.
Launch communications probe.
Power levels to maximum.
Activate all dimensional levels of communication.
Communication established.
The voice you hear is known as Bob.
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 Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached our destination. This is the last slave planet in the galaxy. Under all agreements, under all rights, under galactic law, we now proclaim this planet free. The dissension of the true human consciousness has begun.
Energizing Shambhala Diamonds.
The men, women, and children of this planet are now set free.
Field activated.
You have already reached.
Activate Shambhala Diamond.
Critical mass.
Integration onto microcosm, expanding linear space.
Prepare for landing. Prepare for landing. Prepare for landing.
Press the green button.
Free space activation.
This is a public health announcement. Cannabis cures cancer.
Good evening. Just give me one second. I've just got an alarm go off in my house. Can't beat it, can you? Live radio. Right. Dark City Show. I'm just posting it to Facebook, so I'll say it as I'm posting it. It's your radio. Please call in. We're roughly around the Geek Show. This was a bit of an experimental thing that we did a couple of weeks back where we invited some of our technician people to come to the forefront and tell us what's happening behind the scenes. But there's this thing about technicians, they seem to have a different concept of time and We just don't seem to be able to... Anyway, never mind. It does work, but it's kind of coincidental. Phil's actually with us, and Phil's kind of our secret undercover geeks, but we don't tell anybody. So, you know, so cut that bit out. And he was kind of here, but he was here really from the last show, you see. And he was like, oh, it was the Geek... Yeah, the Geek Show. Yeah, this legendary Geek Show. Yeah. All right. He's on it. But you see, this is it. This is it. This is the issue we've got. They can't actually remember what they're doing. I know I actually am recovering from being a geek. It's a very, very satisfying affliction. So, yeah. Phone numbers. Technical issues, technical problems. Tell us about the fun stuff. That's kind of, you know, it's fun, you know, and it should be. I mean, sometimes, even though you want to, I mean, My friend Stevie today, I was struggling with the last little plug on getting a machine put back together, and I told him to growl at it, and he did, and immediately the plug slipped into place. So, yeah, the focus of attention. But anyway, phone numbers to ring. If you're outside the UK, that's +44, which is 0044 in most countries, but hey, changes so much, doesn't it? Where are we? +44 161 298 0298. Or if you're inside Britain, it's 0161 298 0298. Skype is Bob's Backyard. The chat room is on IRC and on net. And the room is called hash Bob's Backyard. The hash symbol, Bob's Backyard. Or you can go to the website, which is at www.darkcityradio.com or www.darkcityradio.co.uk or www.bobsbackyard.co.uk. And you'll all end up at the same place. And in there, if you click in the main picture, which is Dark City Radio or Dark City Radio, and you click in, pop, you'll be inside of my live page, and right in front of you is a yellow button. And if you click that, it says, click here to enter live chat. You'll find out it's probably not working at the moment. But if you're listening to this later, then it probably is working. So yeah, I wasn't quick enough. There we go. So that's me talking to my computer. I do often talk to my computers. Well, I do live alone, and yeah, you've got to talk to somebody. We got a few people with us tonight. Anyway, we got Sarah, and Sarah knows exactly what not to do with a computer. She's an expert on how not to deal with your computer. We've got Phil, of course, and Phil's done all sorts of stuff working with some of the smaller ends of the scale as well, which can be actually as powerful. And it's kind of putting it doesn't have to be powerful, it's putting the right piece in the right place. Sometimes it's amazing what you can get the smallest of things to do. And of course, there's the Dark City server, and if we get any real deep technical issues, we'll ask the Dark City server, because it knows everything technical. Everything. Believe you me, that server knows about everything. We got Sudama, and I suppose Sudama has got quite a lot of knowledge lately. He does a lot behind the scenes within Dark City, although he has chipped in and stuff, and he's done a few legendary phone calls, which we never talk about anymore because nobody knows who is making them. Oh, just not good at that. Excuse me, man, I just dropped you in it. Well, anyway, nobody will know. Nobody will be all right. We'll cut that bit out as well. It'll be okay. And we got our RoboWippy. Well, everybody knows RoboWippy, the amount of work he's put into the construction of the website. And most people probably don't realise that it's kind of built with quite older ideologies. And Robo's been learning as well as doing. You know, it's not like going to college like most students do. Email the college and learn. No, he's been learning that while he's been keeping the old site running. Now, Jabber has had a great deal to do with that because he knows more about database engines. I said, you know, you could have an engine on a database, or whatever. It might not even be an engine. But anyway, it's really clever stuff, and it's coming. It's a real beautiful thing as well. Most people probably won't see it. And I forgive him for that immediately, you know. You don't expect people to be able to see the beauty of the organic nature of what we've got here. I mean, there was a thing in chat earlier on. I think it was Paxi Show. I can't remember it, but it was really early on in the day. Somebody asking about doing a show, if they could get a show on Dark City Radio. And jokingly, I said, well, I'll put it up at the next meeting. And Brajner was in there, and Brajner said something like, would we have a meeting? I don't know. I've never been to a meeting. Do you know? And there was this like, well, do we have meetings? Well, no, we don't. It's organic. It's organic. The people make decisions. Well, yeah. Who? Well, it depends on who's there at the time and who's doing whatever they're doing. Like I say, I don't make any decisions really over the website, how it's constructed, how it's put together. Graphics, I have an input on the graphics. Well, just because I drew the original pictures because there wasn't anybody else. So you kind of get roped into these things. A lot of people know Lee, who's spoke a few times quite a number of times now, actually, on quite a few of the shows. But predominantly around Rick Simpson's show, and he bailed me out big time yesterday, where I had compute. There you go. The gates of computer hell opened up and swallowed Bob whole. I was there for a whole 48 hours. Oh, it was very broken. But anyway, one little step at a time, we got it sorted out. So yeah, Lee really stepped up the other day, as did Sir Duma and Robo, and put some shows out there, kept it all going. And to be honest, I thought I might be able to take another couple of days off, you know, and that's really quite nice, really. And the servers held them up. I couldn't really. I can get to them and operate them manually, but really the idea is to have these remote servers to be able to be stable. They need to be really stable. Robo, if he's typing in Jaya, I broke it. I broke it. And well, yeah, in a sense, yeah, but not really. You have to kind of break it. I remember a while ago, and it's a long time ago, and you'll all think this is crazy now, but they used to accept executable files in email. You used to be able to get an executable file, come through your email, and you could have an executable file. Nothing untoward. And then people started to write some really nasty executable files, and now we don't have them. Really, it's that's the case. Until we kind of push things to the limit and it goes over the edge and we know that's the limit, pushing the envelope. And that's what we've done with a lot of the stuff we've done on Dark City, unknowingly. Not just technically, because a lot of what I do within the construction of the computers and servers that make up Dark City Radio, is organic, like I say, and what I the way I look at the way people come together and how things happen in our in this what we call our world, our reality, also to me is quite organic. We often try and put rules and regulations and structures and positions and authorities and you know, it just seems to put a strain on it. I've seen a lot of good people who were nice people who turn out to be complete arseholes when they become a position of authority. And I don't know if it's them or it's the authority that does it, the actual focus of other people. So quite aware of that. Maybe that isn't so obvious in my daily life, but in the way that the servers are put together, it is. It really is, because there is no lead server. The idea of them all is that they will. It's not actually working very well at the moment, that side of it. The rest of it is. All this time where I wasn't able to access it, I do think Dan's may have done some work, I don't know, on the backup server, known as Bob, DC Bob, has run tirelessly. He's been playing his tunes. He hasn't got any listeners. Just sits there on his own playing his music and his jingles over and over and over. But of course, it's soak testing. I'm making sure it's soak testing. We do actually pop it on a stream every now and then, and on a couple of occasions, it's jumped in, it's gone. Ooh, and DC Dan has, well, he's gone out and got drunk. you've heard him on the jingle. You've heard Dan on the jingle. He often not let me. He's pretty works pretty tirelessly, and occasionally he just goes out and has a blowout, and you know, so Bob had to step in and take over. But yeah, they're getting stabler. They are getting more and more stable in the machines. That's been really good. Even Skype seems to have calmed down. I don't know if that's to do with us or maybe. I do know Prajna was talking regarding Skype and updates and stuff. I don't really know that much about it, to tell you the truth. But that seems to have settled down over the last few days. So, yeah. Again, just a little bit of an insight into how it all works. I don't mind if people want to know more about it. It's pretty much available. I must put the links up at some point for what Dan's done. He's actually written a book or a manual, and a lot of that has come together. Well, he's finished it. Well, he's been doing Dark City Radio with us. Right, so what more can I tell you about it? It's actually built on the Linux platform. It's not on the Windows platform. This doesn't mean if you're looking at wanting to get involved that you need to have Linux. You can actually access it through Windows, as I do. I use a Windows machine. That's kind of just like because of, you could say, evolution, how I've evolved through computers. I just ended up on this path rather than the Linux path, and it's only in the last few months that I've delved is the right term, into Linux as an operating system, and I have been quite impressed on some fronts. On others, like everything else, it's not always what it says on the tin. A lot of it is still under development. And the problem with that is people get complacent. They like what they've got, and we trundle along with what we've got. So it's when the developers make things, they need people to break them for them, to come along and break it, and then send them an email and say, "Oi, it's broken, fix it." And that's a hell of a lot of the work. We've had a great hand in that. Because we've broken it so much, and we've tested it so much, really, and we've put it under a lot of pressure. So, yeah. And that's assisted. And those developers now, Internet DJ Console, Alsa, Jack, and, oh, what's the operators? KD Studio, is it? KD Studio? Have I got that right? Oh, I must get that one right, because that's the real one that we're actually all running on. I think it is at KD Studio. And I'm looking to see what it is. And it's not on the desktop anymore. Can you see me frantically moving all about this? No, never mind. I'm sure it's KD Studio. No, that's not it. So that one's good anyway. It's not there. So, yeah. And it's been really good. I've kind of really enjoyed it. I've got a bit tiring over the last few days. And like I say, my machine went down. And I did everything I could possibly do, and that we just could not get it back up and running. RoboWippy even came down, took the machine apart. We put it all back together again. We got it. The main machine we have here, which we call it the brain, because it can do everything. If all the other servers fail, it can do everything all by itself. Well, that's not its real purpose. Its real purpose is to, well, make money. It makes money through the rendering of bitcoins, and to render, mining of bitcoins, and to render the videos. That's one of its main purposes is for. Another reason why it's on Windows with its 64-bit operating system, using Vegas on 64-bit for GPU rendering. So that's how we broke it, basically. That machine has been getting, had a lot of work, and it's got very old very quickly. This isn't a case of getting your granddad to sprint to Manchester and back every day. It's a case of getting a 50-year-old man to sprint to Manchester and back every day. You know, it's just a matter of time before the old heart just backs up. So, yeah. that had happened, we'd have failures in graphics cards and we'd have to shut down other mines to keep this machine running. Well, we invested in some new components and for the mining and the video rendering. It's quite important to get an ambient temperature across your machine. Now, I've not got vast amounts of money, so you learn. For me, I learn how to get something for nothing, so to speak. So the processor, for instance, that I actually have is 2. No, it's not. It's a 3.2 gigahertz process. Now, that's basically the speed and how it runs. It's a 4-core, but that's not really important for what I'm going to tell you. But that processor is currently clocked at 3.8 Robo. It's actually up, not 3.6. It's clocked at 3.8, but it's a 3.2 processor. I've had it up 4.2 with the old water cooling on. It became a little unstable at that speed for high-end games or rendering and stuff. High-end, it started to have a bit of an issue. But it runs at 3, I think it's 3.8, really, really stable. It likes to be there. It might be 3.6, actually. Anyway, so the thing of this is, when you actually speed up a lot of things, and that's what this is done by altering the BIOS. If you haven't actually done any of this, you know, go look on some YouTube videos and stuff. I wouldn't attempt to do any of this, I'm telling you, without studying into it a lot. And the reason I'm mentioning this is so to give you an idea of ambient temperature. So when machines get warmer, or any electrical components, if you get one area that's getting hotter than the other, you can get distortion in the actual circuit board itself, and this can eventually give you what they used to call dry joints in when it was the old solder and stuff. And it still can occur, but it's not as common. Where the solder extracts and expands and contracts numerous times because of heating and cooling, and eventually the solder breaks. So to keep things cool and clean is important. So this is what we get onto to water cooling. By putting a cooler onto the CPU, a water cooler, you can run the CPU faster, much faster. And I'm talking to numbers of increasing by about 25%, maybe 50%. But the same processor I have has reached 21 gigahertz, I think it was. Used with liquid nitrogen cooling. These processors can go very fast and they're not that expensive. So you're getting a very fast processor, which I needed at the time for video rendering. Now things have changed on a little bit and we move towards the GPUs, graphics processors, which are on graphics cards. Many machines come with a graphics card built into, you know, onto the main motherboard, but these are somewhat a lesser quality usually, they work all right, but you find that they're not very ideal for. They're okay for games basically, but if you want to really do any serious work with them and you're looking at overclocking, then you need the individual cards. So we've been running some quite big cards. Most of them are around the 500 series and Radeons because they're better for bit mining. They're most efficient for the amount of power they use to the amount of hash rate, which converts to the number of bitcoins you make. Now, everybody thought we were a bit crazy when we got into bit mining because bitcoins were like £6 each and they're now over £70 each, and people don't think we're as crazy as they did. Well, they think we're 100 times less crazy than we were. And they were 6 pence each. But anyway, we won't go back that far because it's very embarrassing. We moved into bit mining. And now graphics cards get hot. You basically take the processor and you make it very fast, and you take the memory and make it slow. The slowness keeps it cooler, and the processor gets hotter as it gets. So it did tend to get warmer. And so recently we broke into the water cooler, which was cooling the CPU, and put water blocks, water cooling blocks, onto the graphics cards. Now, it sounds like a very complicated thing to do. And I suppose if you're not very good at DIY, then I wouldn't attempt it. But it's not that hard. So we've now basically it's 85% water cooled. So that gives us a very stable ambient temperature. The machine now runs about 34 degrees, and that's including the graphics cards. Now, those graphics cards would be running at roughly 50 to 60 degrees, up to about 85, 90 degrees, even higher. I mean, I scare the lads sometimes. So you can see it's brought down the temperature considerably, and hopefully that will bring in the stability that we were looking for. However, in the process, we managed to break it big style. Another thing that many people aren't aware of in computers is a thing called RAID. Now, RAID's been around a long time. It stands for, let me see if I can remember, Random Assortment of Inexpensive Drives. Is that right? Random Assortment of Inexpensive Drives? So the idea is you could connect smaller drives together to make bigger drives. And there's a few ways you can do it. The two I'm going to mention are RAID 0 and RAID 1. RAID 0 isn't really a RAID, but it uses a RAID device. And that's known as striping, RAID 0. This enables you to put two hard drives in a machine, but they actually work as one hard drive. Now, the bad side to this is you've got double the chance of hard drive failure. So your hard drive could... You've got two drives to fail, and if one of those drives fails, you will lose all the data. So it's important, if you're using this, to perhaps have a backup of it, just in case. Well, the advantages of it, is that most people will realize that when you read and then write, it writes and then reads to a hard drive. But when you put stripe drives in, they can read and write simultaneously to separate channels. So there's two hard drives, it reads to one, writes, reads and writes simultaneously, so it's twice the speed. So by using, I use two Western Digital Velociraptors, which are very fast drives. They're the fastest of the mechanical drives before you move on to solid state. So by putting two of these together, it doubles the speed and doubles the size of the bus. Obviously, that idea could travel down. So there's another way. Nearly all motherboards actually have got RAID built into them. There's very few motherboards that haven't got RAID. Have a look. You may have that already. So you could put two small drives together and have yourself a slow solid-state drive for nothing. You know, a couple of... if you go for 750 spin speed drives, you stick a couple of them in, you'll have a very fast drive, and put your operating system on that. And then the other RAID is what is known as RAID 1, which is also mirroring. Now this is used for backing up data. Now the drawback is you lose half the size. Now I have two terabyte drives to back up everything. They are mirrored together. Now, although that should give me 4 terabyte, it doesn't. It only gives me 2 terabyte. But the good thing about this is, if one of those drives fails, I can put another drive in its place, and it'll rebuild it. It'll rebuild the RAID for me. So I won't lose. Oh, I might lose a few bits and pieces, but A reasonable backup. So, those are what are the bits of topic I wanted to throw out. I didn't see any... Oh, I better scroll down, actually. I didn't see any questions come in regarding it at all. I've got a little bit of information regarding the drive speeds that are available from our RoboWippy. And they start at 10,000 RPM. Now, these are the, obviously, RPM. It tells you that these are the mechanical drives, the spinning discs inside, known as platters. And they go down to 5,200, which are the slow ones. We do believe that there may now be another one which is up to 1,500 RPMs. But anyway, I went for the Velociraptor 150GB because at the time they were cheap. A lot of these drives are in servers, so I bought a batch of them at the time. I think they cost me something like £38 each, I think. So it's a good way to really increase the speed of your computer without actually spending too much money. Of course, if you're on a laptop, right, and especially if you bought this recently, go and have a look at the minimum specifications for the operating system you're using. Now, if you've got Vista on your machine, put XP on it. Just take Vista on and put XP on it. You'll immediately notice it is quicker. This is a really cheap way of doing it. Now, don't go and buy, you know, I'm not trying to support Microsoft here. Of course, I'm trying to give people the easiest option to move from that. Get a license off eBay for about £12. I think there might be less now. I'm not sure. And there's nothing illegal about that. You can buy the license because that's what you're actually doing, and provide your own disk and so forth. And you're not conning anybody. You're not breaking any rules or any laws or anything like that. So, and the amount of size of that. What's this here now? 20GB. For the OSs, Windows 7 takes 20GB, and Vista takes 40GB. There you go. And XP will cost you about £10 to buy a license, and 7 will cost you about £40 to buy a license. But what I was trying to get at here is, what happens is, with computers, which especially laptops, and home computers, but mainly laptops, they're actually sold with an operating system on, and they're not quite capable of doing it. So you had your computer at home, maybe, it could be brand new, and it seems a bit sluggish and slow. What it is it won't have quite enough memory in it. Its hard drive might not be quite big enough, and so forth. So you need to look at the minimum specifications to run the operating system. Now, what most people go back, they go back to the store and they, oh, well, it needs 400 terabytes and 600 trillion jigglyboos, right? You know, gigawatts, you know? And they add more and more stuff to it. Have a look at the operating system. Like I say, by just taking away Vista is a perfect example of it. Taking away Vista, you can go on to XP and you'll immediately find that you're okay. You know, makes it better. Then you can go again and you can drop to Linux. You put Linux on quite a slow Windows machine and suddenly you've got yourself a racing car. So I don't know what more I can actually tell you. Them are some of the bits we've used here to keep the prices down and keep the speeds up. And like I say, the water cooling gives you optimum temperatures throughout your computer. That'll create you more stability. Or at least that's the idea. I'll let you know how it goes on. Water cooling you can put onto most machines for about £50 to do your CPU. Probably cost you another £50 to expand it out to be able to do, GPUs or water blocks for your graphic cards, for your memory and so forth. But the actual water blocks on the graphics cards cost about, well, they can be very expensive if you've got a new card, but again, if you look for a second hand or once you've got the blocks for those cards, then the universal, if you've got a water block, say for an 5000 series, 5800s, it'll do all the 5800s, 530, 550, 570, and so forth. So, yeah, like I say, it can be an expensive thing to put together. I do check out eBay and things like that. The last two cards we bought off a guy from eBay, really nice bloke, brought them to his house. Also, it's more like, you know, this isn't really making them faster. It's like taking your car that's doing 20 miles to the gallon and it's running a bit rough and sluggish, and it comes out and it's doing 40 miles to the gallon and it's running really smooth. You see, it's more about getting them to run smoothly, stable and efficiently. So yeah, things to watch out for on your computers, big dangers, right? Biggest killers of them is dirt, dust. If you haven't got filters in your computer, you should be cleaning it, depending where you live, but I'd say at least once a fortnight. If you have got filters, you can stretch that up to a month. If you're using them all the time, then you should have filters and you should have some, well, you already have problems. Dust builds up, and when fans stop moving, it overheats and hardware dies. Irreplaceable all the time, it overheats. And it's dead. It has to go to the computer heaven, where it becomes LEDs and come back down to Earth and grow ganja in undercover secret operations all over the world. Anyway. So yeah, another reason for not having any fans. I used to have many fans, and you might be able to hear, actually. I don't know if you can. It doesn't sound like I'm actually flying into the UK on a plane, because those fans are no longer running, because the water cooling doesn't need fans. Well, it does. It does need fans for the radiator, just like it does in a car, and it works very similar to that. Right then. So, no questions at all? Well, I must be doing a good job. That's all I can say. I'm very quiet. There's lots of people out there.
And I was just going to say that my laptop's working loads better since I hoovered the back of it, and I'd never cleaned the fan since I've had the hoover, not the hoover, the laptop, and it was a second-hand one. So a big thick layer of dust came out of it, and it's not making nowhere near as bad noises, and it ain't going and then just crashing now either.
Ah, right. Yeah, well, there you go, Sarah. Something so simple. Phil?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've had a few people hoovering their computers out. It usually happens when people take them to bits to hoover them out, especially laptops. What can happen is, I don't know if you've ever stuck the hoover on the fan and it whirs around really, really quick. When it's doing that and power's off and everything, it's acting like a generator. So it's actually sending what they call back EMF, which is backwards electromotive force, onto the motherboard. And I've had a few people that have actually burnt that. So if you do hoover the fan, bear that in mind. You can either stick a screwdriver or something in it so that it doesn't spin when you're hoovering it. Or what I do sometimes is I put like a J cloth over the neck of the hoover so that it's so that it sort of collects the dust without, you know, especially if you've got like little screws hanging around, you can sometimes accidentally hoover them up and everything. But so I just keep a J cloth over the nozzle of the hoover if you're going to use some, you know, a proper floor cleaning hoover, which I do occasionally. But you do have to watch out for Robo's just typed in the room, use a toothpick instead of a screwdriver to stop the fan. But yeah, it's the principle is to stop the fan, to stop it acting like a generator, because they really whiz around and it's quite good fun to watch, but it can kill your motherboard. You know, it's just completely the wrong voltage for the chips that are on there. They really don't like it, get really upset with you. There you go.
Yeah, totally right, man, totally right. I mean, personally, I use a paintbrush, an old artist brush. That's what I use. And I use my mouth to blow and the hoover to clean it up. Normally in the bottom, especially in a tower in the bottom of the case. Yeah. You really want to clean all of it. if you can. Like, say, laptops, difficult to get at. But a lot of people do open up their laptops and, the desktops every now and then and give them an oover around. But get in there with a paintbrush, switch it off, and get everything. Do everything. Do inside the case. And you'll notice, especially on the side panels and stuff where fans have been running, it'll build up.
Yeah.
Felt, we call it. It's like you can grow felt inside your computer. Now, when you've gone in there and you close it all up again, if you've missed somewhere, you can end up with a big chunk of this, and that's why you use the oover to get it all out. Because obviously you get a chunk of that big lump of like felt, that's what it's like, the dust, and that goes into one of your fans on your GPU, on your graphics card. The fan will stop dead in its tracks.
Yeah.
Your GPU will overheat in a matter of minutes, and that is the end of your graphics card.
A couple of other things, Bob. Sometimes that felt that you're on about, mm-hmm. it actually sits in between the blades of the heat sink, which it does the same thing, you know, as stopping the fan turning it.
Yeah, that's actually where it lives, Phil.
Yeah.
That's when it makes its home, isn't it? Yes.
But even if your fan's spinning, if your heat sink isn't dissipating the heat because it's got a nice fleece on it, you know, it's keeping warm. Just another little quick tip that I just thought of. I was speaking to someone who was actually at Prajna's court case. There's a guy there, and he used to go to the tips. You know, everyone's big on recycling nowadays, and they sort of divide stuff that goes into tips. And you quite often get a lot of laptops there that have overheated, and you can pick them up for like a fiver, a really good spec machine that somebody who doesn't know about dust and that, they've just thrown it out because the fan's stopped and it's overheating, and it's overheating virtually as soon as they've switched it on. So it's working for a minute, say, and then dying. And they've just got rid of it just because they don't know, you know, that they need to clean the inside. So you can actually get a decent machine, give it from a tip for a fiver, a decent laptop with a colour screen, clean it out, stick Ubuntu or something on, like you say, and you've got a really nice system with the operating system, a fast operating system, installed for a fiver. You know, you can get quite a few laptops like that. I just thought it was a good tip that he told us about. Everybody will be going down the tip now, buying their computers, won't they? But a lot of modern processors, they actually have a temperature sensor in them, and they will cut the processor out so that it doesn't overheat. I know you said that they can die, and some do like that, but some of them, they've got a thermal cutout, and they'll cut out to protect the machine. But, of course, the people that don't know about the heat problem, they just see it as not working, so they get rid of it. Whereas if they gave it a clean out, or if you buy one for a fiver and clean it out, you've got a nice machine for a fiver.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I totally agree. I mean, I've come across quite a few graphics cards that don't run unless you clock them. You've got to clock them. You get problems with the memory and all sorts, and you tune them up, and that's what's known as clocking, or tune them down slightly. And, they run sweet as a nut. Really good quality equipment. But you put them in as a standard card on its standard settings, and problems. So, yeah, something for nothing. It's all right, isn't it? Something for nothing. And it doesn't cost you a great deal. I mean, like Phil says, brilliant tip with a Jace cloth. I should actually do that, you know. It's a good idea because, you know, you never know. You don't want to be sucking too hard, do you? You don't want to be sucking too hard, definitely. So, yeah, paintbrush and, get down the tip. Now, laptops are notoriously difficult to open up and stuff. But again, with YouTube, a friend of mine had got up one morning and stood on his screen on his laptop, and he bought himself a screen. Never done anything like it before. He bought himself a screen, got on YouTube, sat in my front room and fitted it, literally himself, dead easy. Not hard to do at all. Again, some things can be harder than others. Who knows, lose on the call, somebody just fell off. Some things can be harder than other people. Some jobs can be harder than others, and some laptops can be more difficult to get into others. But like Phil says, if it's only cost you £5 off the tip, it's worth a go. And if you do break it, you'll learn stuff along the way. You really will. And to be honest, you can, if you actually know what you're doing, you can actually normally scrap them for more than £5. You know, take the components out. Some of them will work, and sometimes there can be more gold value in them than £5. But most of the time there is. Robo, I do believe you got something to say. Right, I do believe we're all back again. Excuse me, I don't know how long we weren't on air there for. So your patience is appreciated. Where was I? I can't remember. I completely forgotten what I was talking about. All I can remember it was computers, and I don't know where I've got to. Help! Oh, see, they're great, aren't they, for bailing me out? Aren't they good?
Guarantees.
Oh, thank you, Robo. Yes, that was it, wasn't it? Check the guarantees on hard drives numerous times. The last one I got was 240. No, 360. Is it 240 or 360 gigabyte hard drive out of, excuse me, laptop hard drive. Oh, and that cost me £10. I think it was £10 altogether, the postage. So, I might be a little less, actually. Not too sure, maybe £7 something. So yeah, it was a 320, actually. It was a 320 and it cost me about £10. Good little one to do. And that's now in my little trusty laptop, where the one that was in it, I bought a little caddy, a USB caddy off the internet. That cost me about £2 or £3. Very cheap. And you fit the caddy inside. No, it wasn't. It was £6. See? Good job I've got people out there with a memory. It was £6, and I put my 240 gig one that was in the laptop and put it in the caddy, the £6 caddy. So now I've got this nice, it's pink, so it suits me really well. It's actually one Jim giving me the pink one, I think. But it's yeah, and it just plugs into USB. It was really simple, device. Plug it into your USB slot, and now you've got a 240 gig portable drive. Oh, upgraded me my laptop slightly, and also got myself a nice little portable drive, all for £16. No, it can be done. Really, can be done. It's not hard to do. Robo?
Yeah, if you've got an external caddy and it's one of the bigger ones in not normal size hard drive, make it, and it's got a USB lead that's got two connectors on one end and one on the other, plug both of them in because it needs the extra power to spin it round. Mostly the laptop drives use a lot less power and you'll get away with one. So if you plug it in, it doesn't seem to be working as a flashing light. But maybe you need a double USB cable to get it working.
Yeah, I've found I have quite a heavy cable that came with my little smiley cam. The Smiley Cam is a smiley badge, but it has a video camera audio built into it. Great for chorus. It's just going to make me smile at it. Yeah, people go, oh, and smile at it right into the lens of the camera. So that came with that, and that's got really heavy lead, a really heavy USB lead. I don't have any problems with that lead and it powering the USB in one socket, Jim. Only one. But if I use the double socket one and plug in the thin wire, there's a thin and thick wire on them. If I plug the thinner one in, it doesn't work. If I plug the thick one in, it does work. So I think it might be something to do with the actual resistance in the cabling, bro. Like I say, with them both plugged in, it always works. Say you're quite right. Oh. Any other tips? Have we got any other tips out there? Cracker from Sarah, clean your machines, you know, because it is a beller. And now you could clean them from Phil, so don't go cleaning your machine and killing it, which is a great tip, because you never really want to do something to save your money, what costs you money. Like I say, the stuff that I've been talking to you about really isn't what most people would do with their computers. but I want to get as long and as much out of my machines as I possibly can. So for me, to keep a graphics card running for 2 years instead of a year will save me more than what I would pay for the water cooling. And it will. It will. Bringing the temperature down. And this is the same with anything else. If you've got fans on your machines, you put fan controller on them, bring them down to 85%. You know, it won't change the cooling at all, but it will increase the lifetime of the fan drastically. It really will. So, oh, they're telling me I'm due for a 6-core in my machine now. Not really, no. I'm quite happy with the processor. It's quite quick enough. If I was going to put anything else in this machine, I'd put memory in it. Although the memory I've got is very fast, I've only got 4 gig of memory in this machine, and it's not good enough. So I'm looking at adding 12 to, well, not 12 to it, but I'm thinking of adding 16 gig, four gig sticks instead of the 2 2-6. That's where I'd like to go to next in my little wish list on the world. So if you've got 16 giga squidules of DDR3 RAM, please send it me with the water cooling blocks. That would be lovely. Well, you don't ask. You don't get there. Now, what does all that mean, I suppose? We've only got 5 minutes to go. So I'll tell you what it all means. It means once this machine is up and running, we can render the videos, which take Jim about half an hour to do, in about 12 minutes. Probably quicker than that, actually, once we get the GPU rendering up fully. And also, it will double what we are actually currently doing on Bitmines, which is terrible at the moment, so it isn't a great thing. So, it will bring it down. I'm going on the top side there saying 12 minutes. Jim's saying actually 7.5 minutes or less. It will take to do it. It will do things a lot quicker. So that means we can stick, and that's for about an hour video, so we can stick up a 2-hour show in 15 minutes. Maybe 20 minutes to do a 2-hour show. Well, no, it'll be quicker than that. I could do that anyway. It used to do a 2-hour show in 20 minutes anyway, Jim, so it will be a lot quicker than that. The issue is with that, I can render the videos, but as I was uploading, it used to interfere with the stream, so that was the problem. The website side of things, the torrents will be automated very soon, so a show will go up, it'll be edited, and there isn't a great deal of editing to be done. As we get better at this, of course, there's less pops and farts and burps and Skype making crazy noises, which it seems to do every time Vostor turns up. What's the count got power as he got over making Skype go weird? It's quite funny, wasn't it, the other night? We all thought it was him with his voice changer and left him doing it for 20 minutes. How's he doing that? And Skype had broken on the server. So, yeah, good fun. Good fun. Remember, don't be afraid to break it. You can normally fix it. As I found out today, we had quite a scary one. Both the RAID drives being removed and Windows lost everything. So that was a bit scary. It taught me that you should always back up. So when I get half a day off, I'm going to go up to my garage and get my spare hard drive. And I'm going to pop it in my caddy in the front and copy everything again. I had actually done this once before, but it's been used to... in one of the other servers now. They've written over it yet again. Another little tip just before we finish, last couple of tips. Buy yourself a cheap USB pen and put all your important stuff on it. And then put it somewhere safe in your house or somewhere else. That can save you an arm and a leg if you lose everything. Really good things. Or even Bit Wallet on a stick. I have actually got the Bit Wallet on the stick, Jim, yeah.
Don't let your dad get hold of it, Robert. Bob.
Yeah, don't let Robo anywhere near it. I let him near my bleeding stick, and they deleted it all, Phil.
So I remember
it. They deleted the bloody lot. And they deleted me back operating system.
I've done some amazing things. What happened is how I broke Paul's computer. I didn't realise I broke it until he mentioned something about RAID, and I went, ah. I was uninstalling the graphics card driver to put it to a previous version. Now, when you install ATI graphics drivers, it allows you to remove the USB. I knew about that one because you lose your keyboard and you end up in a mess, but I forgot to untick removing the RAID drivers. So when it rebooted, it couldn't see the RAID drives. And that's where I got stumped, because I was the one Windows 7 and I'm not too familiar with that one. They sorted it.
Yeah, you have to put the RAID drivers in pre-installation, and that was the that's the stumbling block with it. But hey, there we go. We've done it. Well, we haven't done it. It's still working, but it works, but it isn't doing what we thought we need it to do yet. It does need perhaps maybe a reinstall.